I plan to be really brief this morning because at the end of Mass, the representative of the Marino missionaries will be here to speak for a few minutes. And what I'd like to kind of use as my guide for what I say is a word that caught my attention in the first reading. And that word is complacent. In that first reading, Amos, the prophet, is chastising the rich, the powerful of Israel in his day. And he is chastising them not because they are rich or powerful, but because they are indifferent. Indifferent to the suffering, to the poverty, to the need of the people around them. They continue their comfort without regard to the sufferings of others. The gospel reading really has a similar message. It does not present that rich man as a particularly bad person. It don't present him as a great sinner. Once again, it is his complacency. It is that he sees someone who is suffering greatly, and he does nothing to alleviate that suffering. He is unwilling to share what he has been given with the person who is in deep need. Those readings challenge us to look at our own selves. Are we complacent? Or do we respond to the needs of people around us? Are we willing to share the blessings we have received with those who have received much less? It's a question that each of us must answer for ourselves. The scriptures invite us to look at our own lives. Are we complacent? Are we indifferent to the suffering, to the needs of others? Or are we content to live in our comfort, to have our convenience, to go about enjoying while others are in pain? For the rich man, that was the source of his condemnation, his indifference, his complacency. What is God asking of you and I? Is he asking us to make any changes in the way we live?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank your pastor, Father Ted, for his wonderful hospitality this weekend, and each of you for a few minutes of your time this morning. My name is Greg Darr, and I'm the regional director of our Marino Mission Education and Promotion efforts here in the Midwest. And I've been very graciously invited to be here this weekend by Bishop Brunghart and also Mr. John Ackerman, who is your diocesan director for the Society of the Propagation of the Faith, to do something that I very much enjoy doing, and that is to say, just very simply, thank you. The Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe is one of the many parishes here in the Dodge City Diocese that very generously supports the missionary work of the Marino Fathers and Brothers through your diocesan stewardship program. As you well know, a certain percentage of the collections that are taken up each weekend throughout the diocese are set aside for the overseas mission work of the church. And so it's through your generosity that you help us to share the good news with peoples around the world, and especially those who have been pushed hard to the margins of life, often because of poverty or violence or despair. For example, during the time that I served in Kenya, in East Africa, as a Maryknoll lay missioner alongside our Maryknoll priests and brothers, the support that we had received from U.S. parishes, and especially parishes here in the Dodge City Diocese, enabled us to serve Kenyan communities that had been torn apart by very violent ethnic and political conflict in that country. In the months just prior to my arrival, over 1,000 people had been killed, and some 300,000 people had been made homeless by this fighting. And so we as Maryknollers, we worked with Kenyans to help heal shattered communities and to generate grassroots initiatives that would eventually enable many of these thousands of households to return to their homes and to their farms. Our project, which is called Watu Wa Amani from Africa, also worked with refugees from countries neighboring Kenya. As we know well from the news even of this past week, Kenya sits in a very difficult global neighborhood. And even now, Maryknollers are working with Kenyans to help heal the trauma inflicted by last weekend's terrorist attack in Nairobi, an attack that took place just 300 yards from where I often worked, meeting with officials and warlords and just ordinary people to help foster peace in that very troubled area of the world. But as part of my work, I settled into a slum community on the outskirts of Kenya's capital, Nairobi, where my exotic foreign looks as a white person became for a time the most entertaining thing to hit that part of town in a while. Now, the older kids, they used to call me Chuck Norris after the Hollywood star because in their eyes, I looked just like him. Yeah, you can see the obvious resemblance, right? Now, the younger kids, you know, not yet familiar with Chuck Norris, but soon to be because he remains a very popular action figure in East Africa. But the younger kids, what they like to do is mostly they would kind of gather around me and they would push my sleeves up my arms and then they'd run their hands up and down. And as they did so, they'd say, "Whoa, wewe ni kama Simba," which in Kiswahili means, "Whoa, you are like a lion." Yeah, it isn't because I was so big or brave or fearless in their eyes. It was that as a white guy, I was just so hairy to them. But what entertained the kids most was the way I talked. Every morning on my way to my ministry, and then every evening on my way back home again, I'd be surrounded by a chorus of children, just eager to practice their English and to hear me speak mine. And so they would greet me, you know, almost incessantly, saying, "How are you? How are you? How are you?" But in those first weeks that I was there in Nairobi, they greeted me in a kind of a nasal sort of way. And they'd say, "How are you? How are you?" And after hearing this over and over again, you know, I mentioned this to one of my Kenyan neighbors. He was an elderly man, and he lived right behind me. And I must have remarked to him, you know, something like, "The kids, they're just making fun of me." And he was taken aback by that. And he said, No, they're not making fun of you. They're imitating you. That's what you sound like to them." And he explained, "You Americans, you speak through your noses. But as Kenyans, we speak from deep inside here, our chests. And if you ever have the chance to hear an East African speak his or her native language, you know, certainly the words are going to be different. But if you listen closely, you might notice sometimes where those words come from is different as well." But it's what he went on to say that surprised me even more, because he said, "If you keep speaking through your nose like an American, the children will keep listening with their ears. But if you speak from your heart, like an African, then the children will listen with theirs. Wow. I never thought of it that way before. And it's funny, you know, for all the expertise that we'd like to think that we as missionaries have for communicating the gospel, it's funny how we're constantly learning over and over again, especially among the people with whom we live and serve, how to speak from our hearts. And yet, it's crucial that we do so. You know, not just me as a missionary, but each and every one of us as Catholics. Because that is the only meaningful way that God's love is communicated to others, especially where there are differences in language and in culture. You know, taking a note from Father Ted's thoughts and homily this morning, it's anything but complacency to speak from the heart. It takes discernment, it takes honesty, and oftentimes it takes great courage to listen and to speak from our hearts. But if we don't do so, you know, if out of complacency or indifference, you know, Kenyans have a word for that. They have a phrase for that. They'll say, "Ah, ni maneno tu, ni maneno tu." It's just words, doesn't mean a thing. And so, to touch other hearts with the love of Christ, we have to open up our own hearts and to speak from those places deep inside that are most meaningful to us. Now, we as Maryknollers, we also speak from the heart in another sort of way. We speak from the heart of the American Catholic Church. As many of you may know, Maryknoll was founded about 100 years ago by the bishops right here in the United States to send Americans out into overseas missionary service. So in a sense, we represent you. We represent your faith and your love and your concern for our world and its peoples. And it's because of you that the work of our priests and brothers has grown to include countries, you know, not only in Africa where I worked, but throughout much of Asia and Latin America. And still, you know, we can't do it without you. And so every Sunday, when you place your sacrificial gift in the offering, you empower our Maryknoll priests and brothers to feed those who are hungry, to comfort those who are grieving, especially now in Nairobi. And most of all, to share the good news of God's love, especially among those who are most downtrodden in societies around our world. My presence here this weekend is simply to speak as a witness, to let you know that what you do here this weekend, in the commitment that you make to your parish and your diocese, this weekend and every weekend, it makes a difference. It makes a difference in the lives of people far from here in Dodge City. And speaking from our hearts as Maryknollers, who are recipients of your commitment and generosity, and who share that with others around the world. Speaking from our hearts, your gifts, your prayers, and your support are most deeply appreciated. This weekend, I brought copies of our most recent Maryknoll magazine. I've left them in the entryway. Please take a copy home with you. And if you're not already receiving our magazine, which is an award-winning publication on the mission of the church, I've left cards at the ends of the pews, little pencils. And if you would like to join us in mission and remain engaged, fill out one of those cards. It's a postage-paid card. You can take it home and drop it in the mailbox, or you can give it to me after Mass. But it's through our magazine that you can be a partner in our mission, to be inspired by the people who inspire us overseas, and most of all, to see the impact that your support makes in the lives of others. Finally, just a very brief story, just to kind of share with you in a very meaningful way to me, the impact that your support has made personally in my own life as a missionary. This is something that happened to me in my last days that I was there in Nairobi. And in those busy, hectic moments, you know, as I'm packing my bags and preparing to return home to the States, you know, I had a raft of people come to my door. Many of them came to thank me for my years of work in East Africa. Many of them came to wish me well in my new life in the States. One even gave me a live chicken for that long safari home. But what surprised me is that, aside from that chicken, almost none of the other gifts that were brought by my neighbors and friends were for me. They were almost all for my mother, a person they had never met. And it's one of my Kenyan neighbors who said it well as he handed me his gift for my mother. He said, "This is for the mother who gave birth to you, who raised you, and then who let you go so far away from your home so that you could become our son and our brother and our friend." And so on behalf of our Maryknoll priests and brothers, you know, the sons and brothers that you send forth from our American Catholic Church, thank you so very much for your prayers, for your generous support, and most of all, for the extraordinary privilege that we have of serving as missionaries in your name. Thank you, and God bless you.
Greg, thank you very much.